Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Come on, let's welcome Dr. Denny Rodney Durant.
Come on, man, I just want to tell you, I'm so excited to be here at North Point Community Church this morning. I'll tell you this, that I go all around Shreveport and Bossier, and I hear what an incredible difference North Point is making. It just blows my mind, the difference you're making in community and in culture, how you exalt Jesus. But I want to honor your pastors first and foremost, Pastor Destiny and Pastor Philip. I know it's very cliche to say this, but they've been my heroes since I was a little bitty boy. Destiny's my sister, Philip's my brother-in-law. But now, today, they're even more my heroes than ever before because I watch them and how you guys lead, how you guys pastor, some of the greatest communicators of the gospel that I've ever seen. I'm so nervous to be up here following in your footsteps because you guys are just unbelievable in every way, and watching how you parent my nieces and nephews, it really is just a joy to watch y'all live your life. Can you put your hands together for your pastors right now? Come on. I love y'all so much. Unbelievable. Oh, I'm pumped to be here. Y'all can go ahead and be seated this morning. Just a little bit about me. You heard a little bit from Philip, but my wife, Sarah, and I, we've been pastoring at Shreveport Community Church just right across the river, your sister church, for the past 3 or 4 years. And it's really been a blessing to see what God's doing. Just a little bit about my kids. I got 4 kids, and people ask what I do. Well, I chase kids for a living. That's pretty much all I do. I chase babies. But I have a 14-year-old girl, and she just graduated middle school. So if anyone has any tips on how to parent a teenage girl, I'll be standing right down here at the front, ready for your golden nuggets right after church. And then I have a 12-year-old girl named Noah, and she just graduated elementary. My little buddy Doc, it's pretty much me and Doc versus all the girls in our family. And he's 6 years old. He just graduated K-5. And then my little darling, Daisy, she's 4 years old. And I love her with all my heart. So pretty much in my life, my family is everything, and God is everything. And I want to tell you, I believe this for my life, for your life, the best is yet to come for everything in our lives. And I heard that the theme of this year is, y'all's word of the year is legacy. Come on, somebody. And I want to speak that over you right now. I believe that God has given each one of you, a mighty legacy that's far greater than just your life, but to affect your children and your children's children. North Point, this is your year of legacy. Come on, let's hear it for Jesus right now. Come on. Thank you, Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 7:7. This is a very familiar verse. I want to give you kind of a different spin on it this morning. Matthew 7:7. It says this, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. I just want to talk to you for a few moments. The title of my message is, what are you looking for? What exactly are you looking for? Because what you're looking for is monumental for your relationship with Jesus. You know, all of us, you can probably remember when you got your first car, or you got a brand new car, or that car was brand new to you, right? You get in that car and you're feeling good, you're looking good, and you're driving down the road. And you get on the road after getting that brand new car, and you notice, and you think, gosh, I see this car all over the place now. It's like everyone went and bought the same car that I have. What's the deal? Or maybe you learned a brand new word. You're feeling good, man, I learned a brand new word and I know what it means. And then the next day, you've never heard this word in your life, but the very next day, you hear that word like 100 times. You're like, what is going on? I want to tell you, this is a phenomenon. It's very common. It's called the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. And it's a frequency bias. You notice something new, like a car or a word, and suddenly you're aware of that thing. And because you're aware of it, you notice it and you see it for the first time. We do this a lot. You know, you've probably seen the picture, and it's an optical illusion. And it's a picture, and if you look at the picture one way, you see the face of an older woman. And then if you look at it another way, it's a younger lady all dressed up. So if I took this half of the room, and if I took you into a room and I gave you a story of an older woman that had all of her possessions in a shopping cart, and then I showed you this picture, you'd probably see the older woman in the picture. But if I took this half of the room and told you a story of maybe a younger woman that's dressed up, ready to go out and have a good time, and I showed you the picture, you're probably going to see the younger woman in the picture. Why is that? It's because you were primed to see it. So what you were primed for is what you will see. So if you're taking notes today, my first point is this. Whatever you're looking for, you will find. Whatever you are looking for, you will find. You know, so many times we can say this. You know, I'm just the type of person that walks into a room and I can find the flaws in that room really quickly. I can find what's wrong in every situation and circumstance. Well, I like to challenge you and say, maybe you're going into every situation and circumstance looking for the flaws, looking for the things that are wrong, because if you're looking for it, you're going to find it. You know, maybe in situations all the time you find yourself finding things to be angry about, finding things to criticize, finding things to be fearful about. Maybe you're always exhausted. I want to challenge you this morning. Maybe it's because you're going into every circumstance, every situation, looking for the anger. Because I'm going to tell you, if you want to find something to be angry about, how many of you know you can find something to be angry about? If you want to criticize something, you can criticize all. You'll find it if you're looking for it. So I want to put it on the opposite and on the positive as well. Because if you're looking for the good things in life, you're gonna find them. So if you're the type of person that you always get in every situation and you always find something to be grateful for, right? If you're always finding the encouragement in the situation, I'd say that you have a breakthrough because you're looking to be thankful. You're looking to be grateful. You're looking for the encouragement. And I want to tell you, no matter where we are, God has given us something to be grateful for. How many of you are grateful in this place for the blessings of Almighty God? So I just want to give you a disclaimer. There are some things in life that happen whether you're seeking them or not. Okay, they're just unavoidable. Why? Because we live on earth. It's a fallen realm. But this is God's promise. God will never give us more than we can bear. God has given us the strength. It's called His amazing grace. How many of you love God's amazing grace? Thank you, God, for His grace to persevere through whatever we will face. And there will be times you do not see the good in a situation. I want to tell you, there will be seasons that you do not see God in the situation. There will be days, there will be weeks, there will be months. But let me tell you, if you keep looking for God, God will reveal Himself to you and you'll understand God has been there the entire time. God, in your worst times, draws even closer to you, and our God will never leave you and He'll never forsake you, but our God draws close to you, and if you keep looking for Him, you'll find that He never left you. Put your hands together for a God that never leaves us. God will never leave you. So the verse we started with in this version that I chose, it says this: keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, because what you're looking for, you're going to find. And this reminds me of the Pharisees in the Bible. How many of y'all seen The Chosen, that TV show, The Chosen? I just want to encourage you, go watch it. It's anointed. Every episode, it's the best depiction of the life of Jesus and how the disciples followed Jesus. But the Pharisees, they depict them very well. What did the Pharisees do? They were looking for the negative in Jesus. Okay, the Pharisees, they were looking to tear Jesus down. They were looking for the flaws in Jesus. It says it verbatim in the Bible. It says they were looking for a way to accuse him. They were looking for a way to trap him in his words. So these guys wanted, all they wanted to do was find fault in Jesus. Jesus would do unbelievable miracles, and their conclusions were insane. I mean, literally one story is Jesus heals a man's arm right in front of the Pharisees, just stretches the guy's arm out. He is healed right in front of their face. And they say, how dare you heal someone on the Sabbath? Their whole life, they were supposed to be looking for the Messiah and the Savior, but all they were looking for was a way to climb the ladder of success, and they missed Jesus right in front of them. I want to tell you this. We can't look at life through our own lens. We've got to stop looking at life the way that we look at it, and we've got to get our eyes up and start looking for Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, look for Jesus. People can't see God because they aren't looking for God. And I'm asking you today, what are you looking for? Because whatever you're looking for, you're going to find. Now, there's a story in the Bible. It's Jacob's ladder. You can find the whole story. I'm not going to go on the whole thing, but Genesis 28 and 10. But Jacob, at this point in his life, he didn't know God as his God, okay? God was his daddy's God. He didn't know him as his God. But then in this place, he has a dream. In this dream, he dreams of a ladder going from earth to heaven and angels ascending and descending. And then God speaks a promise and gives him a blessing. When he wakes up, Jacob says these powerful words, and I want this to get deep in your soul. He says this, surely the Lord was in this place, and I was not aware of it. God was there, but Jacob was not aware. But now that Jacob knows God is there, he's going to spend his life with an awareness of God's presence. He'll spend the rest of his life seeking God's presence, looking for God. So if you're taking notes, this is my second point today. God is not missing, but you do have to seek him. God's not missing, but you do have to seek him. Friends, God is there. God is present. As a matter of fact, the word we use to talk about God's presence is omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. So to think God is missing, absolutely not. But he requires us to seek him. Reminds me of a funny story. And it was two kids. And these two kids were just hellions. I mean, they were just really bad in every sense of the word. They were just generally bad. And their parents, they couldn't get them to behave. So finally, the parents took the kids to the pastor and said, will you help me with my kids? And I'll give a disclaimer right now. If anyone needs help with their kids, just bring them to Pastor Philip, Pastor Destiny. No, oh, they have enough kids. Okay, don't bring them to Pastor, bring them to Pastor Steve over here. But brought them to the pastor, and the pastor said, I will help you, but I'll talk to your kids one at a time. So bring your kid up one at a time, and I'll talk to him. So drop the first kid off, and the kid sits in the pastor's study across from him, silence. And the pastor looks at the kid, says, where is God? Silence. Where is God? Silence. Where is God? And it scares the kid so bad, he jumps up and runs out of the office all the way home to his house, into his brother's room, and he shuts the door, and he's huffing and puffing, and he says, brother, oh, we're in trouble. God's missing, and they think we took him. I want to tell you this morning, God is not missing. Okay, God's not missing. But we do have to seek Almighty God. We got to seek him. Let me tell you this. If I was playing hide and seek with Daisy or Doc, my kids, and I start hiding so bad that it scares them, I'm going to start making some noise, right? I'm going to start kind of moving around because I'm a good dad. If my kids are seeking me and trying to find me, I'm going to allow my kids to find me. It's the same way with Almighty God. The Bible says this in Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Proverbs 25:2. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of kings to find it out. So what am I exactly saying? Friends, I'm not saying God likes to play this cosmic game of hide and seek, but what I am saying is that God delights when his children seek him. He wants us to seek him with everything in our spirit. Because listen to me, God has solutions which he has deliberately hidden within himself. And he declares that those who seek him with all their heart will find everything they need. But it's so crazy because we know that and we understand it, but still we don't seek God in every aspect of our lives. I want you to think about the Apostle Peter. So the Apostle Peter, he's on a boat with the disciples, and they look out and they see a ghost, but it's not a ghost, it's Jesus walking on water. Some of y'all know this story. And Jesus calls out, says, hey, come to me. Well, everyone's fearful, but Peter steps out on that water, right? His eyes are on Jesus. He's walking, doing the impossible, walking on water, as long as his eyes are on who? Jesus. But then he takes his eyes off Jesus and he looks for the fear. If you look for it, you're going to find it. Jesus didn't go anywhere, but he just wasn't seeking God. He finds the fear, and when he takes his eyes off Jesus, he begins to sink. You know, this whole concept came to me when I was in Southeastern. I was over in Lakeland, Florida, and my wife and I were taking a theology class. And I just walk into a room, and I'm about to take this class, and I just start sizing the room up. You know, all of us do that. When we walk into a room, you size it up, right? Okay, I know that person. I don't know that person. I need to go introduce myself here. That looks comfortable. Not doing that. Here we go. You know what I mean? Just how we do it. All of us do this kind of stuff. So I'm sizing up the room, and then all of a sudden, I just take my eyes, and I lift them, and I say, God, where are you in this room? God, where are you in this room? And I felt so deep in my spirit, God saying, Denny, if you begin to seek me with everything in your spirit, I'm going to begin revealing myself to you in incredible ways. I just felt that in my spirit. And it wasn't long after that I found myself at a concert. And Dez, my brother, is my favorite singer. And we were at his concert. He was singing and performing. And he's on stage. I'm sitting in the audience just enjoying my brother's talent. I mean, it was just the best. And once again, I took my eyes and I lifted them and I said, God, where are you in this room? And right in that moment, I felt, well, here's an older brother delighting in his younger brother's talent, enjoying everything that's happening. I'd say God is probably in the middle of that situation. And then I look to my right, and I'm sitting next to my wife and mom and dad and Grammy and Destiny and Philip, my family. And I said, well, the fact that all of us love each other and we're all delighting in the same thing, enjoying, God is probably in the middle of this as well. And then I looked at the whole room, and it was all of our friends, all of our family, people we've been through bad times and good times together. But every single one of them still loved God and still loved each other. God, you've got to be in the midst of this entire gathering as well. And it just kept going on and on. Why? Because I was looking for it, and God was in the midst of everything. I look at this room right now, and you can ask yourself, where is God in this room this morning? Where is God? The Bible says this, where two or more gather in the name of Jesus, he is there. So I want to tell you this, we're gathering to exalt Jesus at North Point Community Church this morning. You got out of bed and you intentionally went to seek the face of Almighty God, and you have found him, and God is in our midst. Put your hands together because God is in our midst today. If you seek him, you'll find him, and God delights when we seek him. You know, maybe there's a prerequisite for seeing God in our situations. You know, God said this in the Beatitudes. Jesus said this. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, right? They shall see God. I love the story in the Bible of Nathanael, when Nathanael meets Jesus for the first time. Okay, his buddy Philip had already met Jesus, okay, and experienced the Savior. And then Philip goes to Nathanael and says, Nathanael, you've got to come meet Jesus. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. But then he makes the mistake of saying he's from Nazareth. And we get the famous verse or the famous saying, what good thing can come from Nazareth? That's what Nathanael said. So he had a preconceived ideal of what was even possible in finding this Messiah. But he stepped through his preconceived ideals and still sought after Jesus. So he finds himself in front of Jesus, walking through all the preconceived ideals, and this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. Just a few minutes earlier, Nathanael revealed that he had a misconception of where to even look for Jesus, the limitations of where Jesus could be. But now, apparently, he's already found himself able to get around the negativity of his upbringing, to get around the negativity of his surroundings, all the negativity of religion, and standing in front of this man from a disreputable town of Nazareth, he's able to see Almighty God. I just want to tell you, don't limit where you can experience the presence of Almighty God. If you pursue a pure heart, God will give you a pure heart. You say, Denny, I don't got no pure heart. Guess what? God's in the business of cleaning people's hearts in this place. And God will make us right. We come to him with everything in our spirit. And when he cleanses your heart, when he makes you pure, suddenly you will see God in everything. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Open your eyes and your heart to see God working in the midst of everything. You say, Denny, what's a practical way? You say, seek God. Well, what are you talking about? How do we seek God? I'm going to give you some practical ways. Keep showing up on Sunday mornings. Probably one of the best things you can do is say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm showing up every time the doors are open. I'm going to be here on Sunday mornings. What else? Get in a small group. Small groups here at North Point are unbelievable. Find a serve team. Find someone that might know a little bit more about the gospel that's been a little further. Those are all ways of seeking God, and he will always answer, and it delights him when we seek him. So after we seek him, it really brings me to my last and final point this morning. If you're faithful to seek him, there's another promise which you can hold on to. So I want to read one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Matthew 6:33. I love this verse so much. This is what the Bible says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Okay, this verse comes on the heels of Jesus telling us not to worry about most of the things that the world seeks after, okay? Don't look at the world, don't look at your life like the rest of the world looks at life, but we gotta lift our eyes. Jesus says they worry and scurry to get what they need, but there's a magic formula for us. We're God seekers. We've gotta look for Jesus. So this is my last and final point. God revealed is bigger than what you were looking for. God revealed is greater than anything that you could ever imagine. Finding God is finding everything. So I want you to think about when you walked in these doors. And maybe you were walking in this room, walking in this place, just trying to get better as an individual, maybe getting your family better. But you got a far greater deal. You got salvation, you got eternity, and you got a legacy that's gonna outlive you. Your children and your children's children will be affected. That is a far greater deal than what you were thinking. Maybe you were looking for some joy and to ease the suffering and boredom of your humdrum life. But God gives you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now let's just get down to brass tacks. Maybe right now you're looking for a job and you've been looking everywhere for a job. That's the first thing you're looking for. I just want to challenge you right now. Seek God first and seek God in your job seeking, and God will give you something far better than a paycheck. He'll give you a divine purpose. How about looking for that husband or wife? You know, I see you. I see some of you guys. Y'all are probably showing up to the first service, second service, signed up to 3 or 4 small groups, serving. You're looking for that perfect mate. But I want to tell you this, seek God first and seek God in finding your mate, and God will give you the woman, the man of your dreams, serving Christ, established on the Church of Jesus Christ. Today I'm telling you this, that we've got to seek Jesus in everything that we do, because it says in the Bible, seek first. What is it? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things, everything you're asking God for, will be added unto you. But it's not what you ask. Friend, it's far better than anything you could ever imagine. Are you kidding me? And right now I'm going to invite the band to come up. I'm closing. It reminds me, honestly, of the disciples. And the disciples, they had the privilege of walking with Jesus on earth, right? So if they wanted to see Jesus, well, Jesus is right there. They could see him. They wanted to know what to do. Do what Jesus was doing. Follow Jesus. They were confused. I can ask Jesus the question. He'll just tell me right now. That was their fail-safe. See Jesus, walk to Jesus, do what Jesus says. Imagine the fear and terror when they stood on the Mount of Olives, and all of a sudden, Jesus began to ascend. He's levitating. He gets higher. Jesus, don't, what? He gets higher and higher until Jesus disappears in the clouds. And what does the Bible say the disciples did? They stood there gazing in the clouds, looking for Jesus. But they were looking in the wrong place, because two angels came down and they said, the title of my message, they said, what you looking for? What are you looking for? They said, you've got to go wait, because we're about to send you the helper. So the disciples went to the upper room. And I love the fact that next week is Pentecost Sunday. And it's just a monumental Sunday, but this is the story of Pentecost Sunday right here. They waited in that upper room. And I want you to see this, because all they had was a vague definition from Jesus what they were waiting for. They didn't even know what they were waiting for. They just had a vague definition from two angels what they were looking for. But they waited in that upper room. And as they waited with no definition or understanding what they're looking for, I imagine stuff would happen. They say, is that it? Was that what we were waiting? That was a pretty good prayer. You think that was it? Okay, it feels, no, we got to wait. We got to wait. Because then what happened and what they saw was greater than anything that they could have ever imagined. They saw cloven tongues of fire. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in other tongues. They had the power of the Holy Spirit. And they went from that place and spread the gospel and their legacy to the four corners of the world, greater than anything they could ever imagine. Today I want to tell you this. Some of you are waiting on God. Some of you are looking with the eyes that you've always looked at situations with. And you have a veil over your eyes because you're limiting yourself and you're limiting God what is even possible with Almighty God. But in the toughest times, in the confusing times, when you don't even know what you're looking for, when you don't know how to wait, I want to tell you this. It's time to lift your eyes and to get your eyes on Jesus. Seek him in the confusing times. Seek him in the good times, because what God brings you is going to be greater than anything that you could ever imagine. Everyone stand to your feet right now, and I just want you to bow your heads with me. I want to pray for you. Everyone in this place, just bow your heads with me. God, I thank you for every man, woman, and child in this place. Lord, I thank you that you are in this room with us right now. God, we acknowledge you. Thank you for taking the time to be at North Point Community Church this morning. God, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray the veil will be lifted from our eyes. God, I pray that we will stop looking for the negativity, stop looking for the things that make no difference in our life. God, I pray we stop looking in our old selfish patterns. God, I pray that we lift our eyes and see the Jesus in every situation. God, I thank you that in our toughest times, in those moments where we can't see you, that you've never left us, you'll never leave us, you'll never abandon us, but you're with us in every situation. So God, even in the tough times, God, I pray we continue searching for you and looking for you. And today, God, I pray we have the realization and the understanding that when you reveal yourself to us, God is going to be greater than anything that we could ever imagine. Keep your heads bowed right now. I just want you to get in your mind that thing you've been asking God for. I just want you to get it in your mind right now. Maybe that dream that fell to the ground. Maybe that desire you think that's impossible. Maybe that situation that you feel like it's even too big for God to come through in. I want you to get that in your mind. And I want you to see it in your mind. And then I just want you to see Jesus rising above that situation and rising above that circumstance. And I want you to seek Jesus with all your heart. God, I pray as we think of this thing, maybe it's healing in my friend's body. God, maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's family being put to, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that we will seek you first. We'll seek you with everything in our heart. Find something to be grateful for. Find the God in our situations. And now, God, I pray for these needs because you care for these needs. God, I pray for breakthrough in the name of Jesus. God, I pray you give my friends their miracles. You answer their prayers. You give them life, light, and love in these situations. And as we seek you first, all these things will be added. God, I pray we get our eyes up and we'll seek you in everything. We know that the best is yet to come. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. And everybody said, come on, give God some praise today if you love him. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.